Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 440, Bird Box.
Did you guys trick me into recording the third Fifty Shades of Grey podcast? I don't have a partner over here.
This would be awkward.
That would be very awkward.
Is the porn parody called Bird Box?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, dear.
Yes. Let's explain what that box is.
No. There's children sleeping in the next room.
Is it the tufted titmouse?
There was not a man in the boat, but there was a woman in the boat.
Oh, jeez.
So we don't know where Joe is.
Joe's missing.
Which is weird because this seems ripe for a Joe discussion about now.
Yeah. And so I invited my lovely wife, Crystal, because she watched the movie.
I did. It was really good.
And so, since
you went ahead and bought her an extra ticket.
Yeah, since we were Joe-less, I was like, "Hey, you want a sub?" So here we are. I probably shouldn't say sub so quickly on the heels of the 50 Shades.
Oh dear.
References.
Oh my God.
I still have people talking about it. We need to eventually record.
We finally get around to recording. Completing the trilogy.
I thought we were going to record it, so I watched it with Katie like a year ago. I'm going to have to watch that stupid movie again, which is the worst part of it.
That's funny.
Have you guys seen it?
No, it was never scheduled, so we never watched it.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to, and then no one scheduled, because I'm like, well, we're going to do it in the next couple weeks, and then no one's schedules ever lined up, and I'm like, are you kidding?
So you sat there for nothing.
Yeah. And now you'll have to watch it twice.
I know, that's the worst part. But
and we'll start a book podcast and make you read it.
Oh yeah, right. No thanks.
So I guess just to continue our tradition, we should go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Crystal O'Keefe.
This is Kevin Brackett.
And this is Tom O'Keefe. Use your last name. You're very formal.
Oh, that's what I do on the other podcast.
I know.
Is that not a thing here? This is Crystal.
Don't you know from the other 438 you've listened to?
I skip past the intros. I know you guys.
Oh, right. That makes sense. Oh. You just do a 30-second skip. Okay.
Right.
Cover.
Thanks.
Wow, she's smart.
Yeah.
She's got a quick one.
I know. You got to be careful with this one. You're not getting away with anything around here. Yeah. So, I guess shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, also on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. You can go there and rate, review, and subscribe. It helps us tremendously, which is why we whore out for it week after week. You can also go to Facebook, facebook.com/ Real Spoilers. It's hard for me to, so Crystal and I have a podcast, and every once in a while I mess up and mention the wrong podcast. But I've been pretty good, but now to have you on this podcast.
Only look at Kevin.
Yeah. It's really difficult to be like, which podcast am I talking about?
And now, the Flight of the Peloton.
Yeah. Like, which podcast should I reference?
It's the news of the Peloton.
Oh, come on. That's pretty good.
You haven't listened to all 88 episodes?
I skip past the segment intros.
Oh, there you go.
Because I know them.
Yeah. Apparently you don't. So, where was I at? Oh, we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. Yes. And you can go there and join the League of Show Sharers and share the show with friends and or loved ones. People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Griffin Fox Smith, Lane LeVanway, Tom Comiskey, Chris Sanders, Laura Connolly Quiddick, Travis Tewitt, Brent Smith, Julianne Jordan, Ron Johnson, Tammy Sherman Powers, Richard Lawson, Chris Magic Man, Aaron Marlowe, Ralph Tribble, and Chris James. So thank you very much for doing that and spreading the word and trying to help us increase our listenership. Also, don't forget that we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where if you want to kick in a little bit of money, it just helps us go to cover costs and whatnot, new equipment whenever that day finally arrives.
Helps us go to podcast camp.
Yes.
So we don't have to sell as many candy bars.
Exactly. So that's out there too, patreon.com/realspoilers. So I guess now we will tackle Bird Box. Who wants to do the synopsisizing?
Crystal?
Uh-oh.
Oh, hold on. Did you introduce our fourth guest, Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can find me at wikipedia.org. Yeah.
So when people are like, a tense mother, Mallory, sternly informs two
So this is one of those movies that likes to do a lot of jumping around.
Yes.
So I watched this movie last night, and I'm definitely going to have to read this article because, I mean, I could synopsize what happens, but as far as the back and forth stuff, I mean, I couldn't tell you when they interject this or that.
Right.
But
you don't want to do it too soon because then you'd have premature interjection.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a problem. It's a real problem. But
I mean, perhaps.
I've heard. No, I mean, so I've heard.
Is that where you're going?
Yeah.
Do you get weird Facebook ads popping up lately? Like,
go on.
Like, I know they're based on algorithms, but they can't be right, because if you were to believe the ads in my Facebook feed, you would think that I can't get an erection and I also suffer from premature ejaculation.
It's your age.
And well, hey, hang on. I got one more in the kitty.
Whoa.
And I have adult autism.
Wow.
What are the ads for that, though? I mean,
yeah.
You don't...
They send you to autism school?
It's like, you know, are living with adult autism. I don't know. Like, I see it over and over again. And it, first off, just logically, it irritates me that I'm like, if I can't get it up, I'm also not prematurely ejaculating. Like, pick one.
It's just seeping out.
Right, yeah. It's like, yeah. Like,
oh, pick poor children.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
Pick one or the other. But then adult autism? Like,
okay. Well, first of all, Tom, I get none of those ads. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. My ads are like this game subscription box and the Humble Bundle.
I thought you were going to be like, is your penis too large?
Well, yeah, I said ignore those because I see them too often. I get it. But no, I mean, yeah, mine are like, you know, this game thing and like tech stuff. You know, it's just the...
My ads are all Peloton and triathlons.
Yeah.
Which is silly because you already have a Peloton.
I know. I'm like,
that
you
seems
sold me.
Wasteful.
I got it. I got everything. Everything they've sent, I have it.
Oh, I know.
Maybe they're trying to sell you a Pelican.
No, it definitely
Do you have
Peloton.
A Pelican yet?
I don't have a Pelican.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. The algorithm's just a little confused. But okay, so Bird Box. I haven't read the book. I'm guessing you guys haven't either.
I've not either.
Okay. So apparently it's pretty close, but there are some differences. And I didn't read it, but I did want to look up the differences for the discussion.
Right.
But from what I found, like, the differences are very minor. So I think people who have read the book, I mean, of course, if you envisioned it in your mind differently, you may be disappointed. But as far as the plot points go and the characters, it's like pretty much straight out of the book.
Except in the book, it was a bag.
Bird bag.
It was bird bag.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
Really?
No.
Oh, dear.
This is going to be a long episode.
So, minor differences that don't get into spoiler territory. The John Malkovich character is made up for the movie.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know.
Interesting.
That Tom character, there's not a romantic relationship, and they did that in the movie. And the ending has a minor, same ending, but like there's some minor detail switch. So really, I mean, it's apparently pretty faithful. So
right.
So a lot. So I don't think the book readers will have that to complain about. Now, I'm sure there are other little details that are skipped, but for the comparison article, it's pretty similar. But the main point of this is kind of like an inverse A Quiet Place. And
sure.
A lot of people are comparing it,
right.
Which, I mean, it's impossible not to. They came out in the same year.
Right.
It's about monsters.
Although,
that,
yeah, but since it's based on a book, it's not a ripoff.
I know.
Right.
No, totally. And
yeah.
It isn't. People are saying that, but this was in production a couple of years ago, and it is based on a book. So yeah, it's not a ripoff.
Do we know
A Quiet Place a ripoff?
I don't think so.
It's original, but I guess it could be inspired by something.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't connect the dots because you're like, oh, well, it's a different thing.
Or if you just hadn't read Bird Box.
Yeah.
You know, but do we know, did Netflix commission this film, or was this one that they acquired that had already been made?
That I don't know. I see the book was in 2014.
And it got optioned before I think it was even published.
Okay.
Like it was still in galleys and they were like, oh, this could be a movie.
Yeah. So I'm not actually sure about that. That would be interesting. And maybe we can find something on that. But
I tried to look and see but I couldn't find anything because my thought was, did the studio make this? A Quiet Place came out and then they were like, this is too similar to A Quiet Place. We're just going to get lambasted. And,
did they delay and it
they
a little
just,
bit?
Or... And they, so they just sold it off.
Ah, like we can't put this in theaters after A Quiet Place breaks records and does all this stuff. Like, we'll just give it to Netflix, which will, as we found out, get the viewership.
Right, and Netflix will pay you real money for it.
That's a great question. So pulling up A Quiet Place, just because we are going to compare them again, it's impossible not to, even though, again, we're not saying this is a ripoff of Quiet Place. They're just similar. It says the film entered development when Beck and Woods, the authors, began developing a story that would lead into the film. In July 2016, Krasinski read a spec script and was hired to direct and rewrite. So the book is from 2014. And in 2016, he read the script that they had been developing, I'm guessing, for around the same amount of time. So it sounds like the years are pretty close, like they just happened to be in development around you know, the 2014, 2015 time period. So, sometimes those things just happen.
Yeah. You see that, Armageddon and whatever the other asteroid movie was, I'm blanking on
it. And Volcano and Dante's Peak.
Right.
It happens.
It does. It's
Jungle Book
and Jungle Book.
And Mowgli.
Yeah, Bug's Life and Ants. Yeah. I mean, so you see those kind of parallel.
Kids love Woody Allen.
They do.
It's just
not as much
fact.
As Woody Allen loves kids.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, I mean, he's very...
A good father figure? Is that what you're saying? Okay. Anyway, allegedly. Asterisk.
Yeah, honestly, I don't think that's true. Yeah. But anyway, it was a good place to get a cheap shot in.
There you go. So anyway, so it's kind of the inverse of this. So with A Quiet Place, of course, that came out earlier this year that made a ton of money and came out to critical acclaim, it is you can't talk because the monsters are blind. The monsters are blind.
Right.
But they sense... They have like supersonic hearing.
Right.
And this movie, I mean, it's not that the monsters are blind or deaf, but you have to be blind or blindfolded because if you see them, they force you to kill yourself. So
right.
They kill you / you kill yourself. So it's interesting how it's sight and sound. We think about those senses, you know. So I guess the next one is if you touch a monster, you'll die. Like we're going to get all these.
Or the porn parody where if you put a monster in your mouth.
If you taste them.
If you taste a monster, then...
So it's going to be like A Monster Calls, but a monster...
Yeah.
So, oh, boy.
A Monster's Balls?
I mean...
It's still better than the direction you were going.
That's true. No, I...
Monsters... my defense, I cleaned it up.
Yeah, no, you did. And Monster's Ball, and all you had to do was pluralize it.
Yeah,
that was good. So anyway, if this sounds familiar, it's because it does sound familiar, but again, it's coincidence. It's easy for people people are always ready to jump to conclusions that, oh, this is a knockoff of whatever, but it's not. It's just how it happened. So this is based on, again, a 2014 book, which is written by Josh Malerman. I haven't heard of him before. Let's see, his novels... Black Mad Wheel, Goblin, Unbury Carol, On This, The Day of the Pig, Inspection, a couple novellas and short stories. So, I'm not familiar with this author.
Yeah, I've never heard of any of those books.
Just an interesting idea that got optioned for a movie. The point of this is that Sandra Bullock's character, she has two small children with her. You don't know if they're hers. You don't know how they got in this situation, but she is blindfolded. She's using like a fishing line or some kind of a line, and she's pulling along to a boat, and she's putting kids in a boat, and they're going down a river. And you know, you cannot, she says, you cannot take off the blindfolds. Listen to me. If you take these off, you will die.
And she's very harsh with them. I mean, I know the stakes are high, but she's, you know, she's very much like, she's not pulling any punches.
No, not at all. And so right away,
and the kids are just to be clear, they're little kids.
They're like
this is
four
not
or
like
5 years old.
Yeah, they're not like teenagers.
Yeah,
so.
Totally. No, they're I think this scene is supposed to take place 5 years after the flashback. So they're both 5 years old. And so yeah, you don't know what's going on yet, and we're about to find out in the flashback why she is the way she is or how she got that way. But you're like, something's up with her. She's not, this isn't just a dire situation, like Tom said, like she is off. There's something weird with her and these kids. So it flashes back to 5 years earlier. You see her character Mallory, who is an artist. She like lives inside of a studio, and we find out from her sister Jess, who's visiting, that she recently was ended a relationship, a bad relationship, and the sister kind of hints that the guy was never really, you know, she's
there.
Like, yeah, like she said something like, you guys broke up
or
roommate.
She called him a roommate.
You don't have to get another roommate. She's like, I didn't have a roommate. And she's like, did really?
Yeah.
He kind of was.
Yeah, he was never really there committed. He was basically a live-in roommate. So she's doing her paintings, and she's very bitter, and also she's pregnant.
Very pregnant.
And so she's like, now that this guy knocked her up, he left, he's obviously not going to be involved. And you don't get the feeling that she wants kids or has ever, like, so she's doing this on her own, and she really doesn't.
She doesn't want to be there. It's like she doesn't even really, she's not even committed to the fact that she's pregnant. Like, then, because then they show her at the doctor's office, and the doctors, they go through, and they're
the doctor's convinced her, like, you're having a baby.
Like, this is happening. And she's like, if you just ignore it, it'll go away. And her sister and the doctor were like, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. So meanwhile, the sister's like hearing about some weird stuff going on, and Mallory's like, what? Yeah, I heard something, but I didn't really see it. And so she uncovers the TV and turns it on, and there's this weird epidemic going on. We don't really know what it is, and they don't either, but people are just going crazy around the world. Like, there's mass suicides being committed for no apparent reason, but all these different ways people are killing themselves. And so we see that is breaking out,
and it's only in Russia.
Oh, okay, it starts. Yeah,
it's in Russia and somewhere else.
It was somewhere else, but
Romania,
but the point is it kind of seemed like that, far away and removed.
Right,
you know?
Right. She was like, "This is weird," but like, yeah, this won't happen to us. Kind
but
of
it,
thing.
But it was like, but her sister was very panicked, even though it was far away.
What I don't get is that, like, why don't the cameras pick up the monsters? Like, they're acting like these people are committing mass suicide and they don't know why, but there are monsters.
Well, so the way that I take it, just to skip ahead to what these things actually are, I believe the reason you never see them, and spoilers, you never see them, is because they manifest your own fears.
Yeah, but I still felt like they had a physical existence.
I think it's just it's always a shadow in the movie.
Well,
but
I know that there's a deleted scene they filmed where you see a monster.
Okay.
And they, but the, apparently,
well, the guy draw. Well, I mean, maybe the guy just draws what his monsters are, because
right,
they all look a little different.
Right.
Like, each time he sees it, it's a weird manifestation of a demon type thing.
Yeah, it's
well,
all kind
you
of
you bring
Cthulhu
up a
stuff.
Really good point, and it's actually a problem, because because the news cameras should have been able to pick it up, because when they're in the house later,
it should have been spreading.
Well, when they were in the house later, the guy, he was like watching their video feed.
Totally.
And he saw it and he killed himself.
It should have spread through his news footage.
Yeah,
no, totally.
It absolutely should have.
I agree for that point.
And
but seeing them, though, it's always a shadow.
But when you see the shadow, you see it's not that the monster's a shadow. The monster is casting a shadow. Because you see the shadow, like, in the house, you see a shadow, like, go over them.
But
so
I took it as
shadow.
That's what, whatever they manifest to be the monster, that was the silhouette, the outline, that was whatever they're seeing, but everyone sees something different. I think it just appears as a cloud
on
the camera. But
I definitely think everybody sees something different, like, it's whatever you're most afraid of, so.
Yeah,
you know.
One person sees their mom who's been dead. And
right, someone else sees commitment.
Yeah.
It clearly has a physical manifestation that they should see on camera.
Yeah. The other thing is too is I think it was clearly a budgetary reason that we don't see these monsters, because they would have to either physically, which we know they don't do anymore, especially on a small budget, or CG create different demons and monsters for every person's fear.
They created a physical one for her to see, and they filmed it.
Oh, okay.
And so apparently what she saw was like this long, like, kind of snake man looking thing, but with a baby face, like literally a baby's
for real?
Face. Yeah.
Cause she's scared of the,
I guess. Yeah. Cause she, but yeah. So when they're filming it, getting ready to film it, she's like, don't show me the monster. I want my first reaction to be on camera.
She laughed at it.
And she laughed at it. And they were like, okay, maybe we should go in a different direction.
If the actor who is supposed to be there and knows she's supposed to be scared reacts to it with laughter,
yeah,
probably not a good... Yeah.
That's so,
I mean, because a lot of people that I saw reactions to this movie online, they were like, there's so many unanswered questions and you never see it and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, I didn't respond because I didn't even want to get into it. But I'm like, but here's the thing. You can't please everyone.
Right.
And the thing is, if the monster looks cheap, if it looks funny, if it's not scary, you're going to have all the people saying, oh, well, it's a crappy monster, bad CG, blah, blah, blah. By not showing it and knowing that each person sees something different, I think they made the right choice.
I do too. I mean, this is not a great movie, but it's a good movie.
I was thoroughly entertained by this movie.
I was too. Like, I mean, it is exactly what you want from a B movie, and that's what it is. It's a, and I don't even mean that as an insult. Like, it's a really good B movie.
I was very impressed because, you know, there's a lot of talk out there, and it's, I mean, it's polarizing. It's like some people are like, this movie is better than A Quiet Place. This is more effective than A Quiet Place. Some people are like, you're crazy. A Quiet Place is way better. I mean, it's all over the place. So I didn't know what to expect, but I really loved A Quiet Place. So I'm like, well, I'm not gonna even think this is probably that great. But I watched it, I'm like, okay, this was.
I get that they have very similar premises, but I thought they were both good and in different ways.
Yeah,
I don't like, feel like one takes away from the other at
totally,
all.
Totally, and it doesn't have to.
And I still think A Quiet Place is a much better movie.
Yeah.
But taken on
especially
its own,
the end of this one.
Yeah,
the end is where it unravels, and we'll get there. But I'm just like, okay, which
and I'm glad Crystal's here because she can verify that I called it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, gotcha. the other difference that I forgot from earlier is that she gets knocked up from a one-night stand in the book.
Gotcha.
And this one is this, like, live-in roommate / boyfriend.
Okay.
So she's a little more bitter because she's just knocked up. And, like, there was not even a relationship. She's like, I really don't want this.
Well, and apparently her parents were really shitty. And so she doesn't want kids for that reason. Like, regardless of the boyfriend situation or not a boyfriend, I don't think she wanted, like, the character did not want children.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it.
Did she say she was raised by wolves in this movie? Is that how she describes it?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I was watching it. Ryan was watching it, too, because it really wasn't that bad. I mean,
this is that one scene.
Oh, with the two in the closet?
Yeah.
The sex scene? Yeah. Which they don't really even show anything. They're just there. But like,
you see the side boob.
But like, he even...
It was more the positioning because like the kids were watching and they were like, whoa!
Yeah. And he was playing Fortnite too. So I think he just like looked away.
He didn't
comment on it. So if he did, but he was playing too. But he goes, he's like, what does that mean? Parents were... Did she say the parents are wolves? And I'm like, oh, it's like it's a figure of speech. And he's like, oh, okay.
Like, you know, at that age, especially in today's world with so many comic book movies, he could be like, was she literally raised by wolves?
I mean, Mowgli was.
Yeah, so. It happens.
That's a good point.
It happens all the time.
I just have to say that, so this past week, I went to the zoo twice and took pictures of the grizzly bears, the brown bears. And I'm like, that's what a bear looks like. I just couldn't help. I even compared my own picture of like a grizzly bear that, you know, to Baloo. And I'm side by side. I just had to put that out there. I'm like, God, that was creepy because they have human faces. Did you see Mowgli, Crystal?
Yeah, I did.
The human faces on an animal is so
weird. It was creepy, but I don't know how they would have made him talk as animated as they did, you know?
They did in Jungle Book, though. Anyway.
He did look weird.
Sydney
loves animals, and Sydney was like, that's a creepy bear.
And it's even human eyes.
Yeah.
Like, because I looked at mine, the little bear has little tiny, beady little eyes, right? And they look so sweet. I mean, they would kill you in a second, but they look sweet. And the Andy Serkis bear has human eyes, and his face, it's just...
You said circus bear.
He did.
I know. Not the good kind, either. I'd rather see the one on the ball and the balancing. Anyway, so she goes to the doctor, like you said, and you can tell she's not into the whole pregnancy thing. And the doctor's like, yeah, we're going to be joking around in a couple weeks, but it's going to be in the delivery room with a hard-ass nurse, and it's going to be happening. So prepare for this thing. And like Crystal said, she's just kind of like, yeah, whatever, you know.
Women.
I kind of feel like it was probably the opposite way in your house. I think it was you that was like, yeah, whatever, we're having kids.
So
yeah, you, she's so maternal.
Oh no, I understand. I know, yeah. So you, side note.
You see Chekhov's hospital patient earlier when she's going to the doctor visit. She's like, why are they showing this woman on the cell phone? And like, I think even Ryan called. He's like, who is she? And I'm like, yeah, that will come back around. But I thought this was actually pretty cool and pretty creepy. She's on the phone, and then all of a sudden she's like looking out the like glass walkway or whatever, and all of a sudden she starts bashing her head and face into the glass panes and is all bloody and everything. So really creepy. And you know, Sandra Bullock's like, holy crap, and starts running out of the, so she realizes it's happening.
Yeah,
it's
she
here.
Gets it immediately.
Yeah, so she's like, that thing, it's here now. So she runs into the car. Her sister Jess has pulled the car around. She's like, it's happening, we need to go. And Jess is like, see, I told you. And so they're driving, and I thought this was another really cool scene because there is chaos everywhere.
Yeah,
there are cars that are running red lights and going through four-way intersections. There are people running and getting hit by cars or whatever. I mean, people are just going insane, which that's how panic would be. So not only do you have the crazy people like killing themselves around you, but then you have these other people trying to avoid that stuff. And I thought it was a really well done scene. It all looked
It did.
Good.
Thought, yeah.
Like, really well choreographed.
This movie sucks you in very quickly.
Very. Yeah. That first scene where she's telling the kids, like, this is how it's going to be. I mean, it's like a matter of life and death, and you can hear it in her voice. And so you're immediately sucked in.
Totally. And the thing is, and the complaint, anyone that complains about this movie, they're all like, the first hour is great. And I didn't feel this way, but they're like, the first hour is great, and then the second hour sucks. So people seem to all be into the first part where everything's going crazy, and you're like, what's happening? And there's the chaos and all that. I enjoyed the rest of it, you know, and finding out like how things, you know,
developed.
And the characters.
I mean,
and
I don't disagree that the first hour is better than the second hour.
Yeah.
But
the second wasn't awful.
But the second's not awful. Not enough to make me hate the movie.
No.
I get that. Would we get to the ending that some people might think it's a little cutesy?
Yeah, the ending is what I don't like, but it didn't ruin the movie. It was just like.
Well, and I always kind of figured like they got to be heading that direction.
Yeah.
You know, like that would be.
Like, who would be the survivors of this? Like, it's clear that, it's interesting. I like the idea of it. I don't like the delivery of it. Like, I think the concept, when you think about it, when you're like, oh, you have people, and obviously we'll get there, but it's like you have people with disabilities and you have the people that are quote-unquote, like, superior, but now it's flipped and you actually have people that are now superior and you have, it flips. So I like the idea of it to where your brain is like, oh, this is odd.
Right.
But
I almost would have liked to, I would want to see more of that. I want to see more of
how the
paradigm
in the future.
Shifted.
Yeah, totally. So, they're in the car and like the chaos is all happening. But then Jess, her sister, gets the thing, her eyes. So what happens is their eyes like melt. They get their irises get all weird, and
I think it's a cool effect how they
did it.
It's
a very cool effect. I mean,
they look like their irises look like kaleidoscopes.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. It's all really. It just was very melty, very strange looking. She ends up crashing the car, and
I think though I thought it was really nice and clever, very smoothly done. How Sandra Bullock is looking over her shoulder when her sister sees whatever it is she saw, because otherwise Sandra Bullock would have had it too.
Right.
So I thought it was nice. It was very quick.
The way that
and they didn't linger on it.
How
she
didn't see it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was just really, really smooth.
Yeah. And the way it was all filmed in the confine of the car, the way that the camera was in there. It's a very tight space, but you have to see what each of them is doing. And I agree. I just think the movie was filmed well.
It's very Children of Men.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's a really good movie.
Yeah, it is.
So Jess gets out of the car and she steps in front of a bus or a truck or something. And splat.
Yeah.
And like Mallory doesn't even have time to process this. She's looking around with the chaos. Like her sister just died, but she doesn't like collapse and start crying on the ground for 10 minutes. I mean, her sister is dead, but like she just... It's insane. Like, I like how it just, she was in shock. It was all happening around her. So she ends up just like walking with the crowds. The crowds are almost like pushing her and trampling her to get.
Yeah,
to,
they pushed her to the ground
several
times.
She kept falling to the ground. And then we get to this neighborhood or like a subdivision where there's some nice houses. And this woman sees her, her husband, who's John Malkovich, says, get in the house. And she says, she's pregnant. And the woman runs out to get her. And she says, come on, you know, get up, come with me. And then the woman sees something, which right. is a manifestation of her mother, who we find out is dead. And she's like, "Mom," and she starts zombified. You know, she gets that zombified look and starts walking. And this was another gnarly.
That was creepy.
She yeah. goes. There's a car on fire, like right past her, and she goes and sits down in the car and gets set on fire.
Yeah, and then the whole car explodes.
It's a good kill. That's creepy because she sits in it.
And I have to say, the way they killed off her sister Jess was pretty. Yeah. Pretty. That Splat. Was probably the most gory death scene I've ever seen by a truck.
Yeah, it was quick because it's moving, but it's one of those when
normally when you get the bus hit somebody,
you see it from the side.
You see it from the side, so the bus just keeps moving and the person goes out of frame.
This one was angled.
This was angled, so you see
toward the camera. Yeah.
You see the splat.
Yeah. Yes. I wanted to freeze frame it because I mean, clearly it's CG.
This was Sandra Paulson's last movie. Yeah.
But I mean,
she's very committed to the project.
Beyond that, you know, it's like they're not going to use practical effects on this. So it's going to be CG. And the way it happens.
Can you?
What's that?
Use a practical effect for this bus kill.
Well, I mean, like a giant, like big bag of liquid.
I mean, it would have to be a dummy that just like, but it's like, so they clearly use CG and it was quick. But, you know, I have a 4K TV and I'm not sitting far away from it. So I'm like, when it happened instantaneously, something about it was like the uncanny valley where my brain was like, clearly that was fake.
Right.
It was gruesome, but I was like, something didn't look right. And I wanted to see like freeze frame, like at the point of impact, did it slowly like or did it just splat instantly? Like
what I think happened, and I would be curious to see if you ever do slow it down. What it looked like to me was they did two overlays. Like it was like her kind of melting into the bus, and then simultaneously like this big puddle on the front of the bus. And so I'd be curious to see if that was correct.
It looked interesting, but yeah, it was gruesome. So the woman sits in the car. It's another really cool kill. But Sandra Bullock makes it up to the house. They let her in, and this is where you get a group of John Malkovich and BD Wong. What's the main Trevante Rhodes, the main Tom.
Oh, Tom. Yeah. He's the guy from Moonlight.
Yeah.
He's the guy that actually got her in the house.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. True. Yeah.
John Malkovich wasn't going to let her in.
He's the older, like the main character from Moonlight.
Oh,
right?
No. It was Beatty that let her in.
Yeah. Oh, because he's like, it's my house.
Yeah,
I'm going to let her
right.
in.
Yeah.
Tom is like helping her along.
Did Tom scoop her up off the street?
Yeah, he did. He did.
And then
Tom got her in.
Got
her
to the door.
But BD Wong of Malkovich is like, do not let anyone in.
Yeah.
And he's like,
and Gary was like, it's my house.
It's my house.
Yeah. And she's pregnant and I'm letting her in.
Yeah. So
I want to see some story behind how BD Wong doesn't age.
Right? And he looks younger with every movie.
I know.
Because I saw him in, you know, like we've seen him. BD Wong's been everywhere. Jurassic World. He's been in Mr. Robot. Like he's popped up in different shows and movies all over the place lately. But like in this movie, he looks slimmer and younger. And I'm like.
Because I was watching him like, where do I know this guy from? And I was like, is this BD Wong? And I'm like, no, that guy's too young to be BD Wong.
Right?
I think I'm a racist. Like, I think I just said all Asian people look like BD Wong. And then when I pulled it up and it was BD Wong, I was kind of relieved.
But yeah, totally. And I mean, I do a podcast on Mr. Robot and he's one of the main characters in that. And so I knew it was him for sure. But I'm like, he just looks younger than he even did just last year in that show.
Right.
It's bizarre. So yes, the ageless BD Wong apparently owns this house. I don't think they ever. So he has a husband that I don't think we ever see.
I assume the husband already died.
That's what
is
I
how
assumed
I took.
Too.
Okay, because when they talk about it, they don't even really talk about him in the past tense, which may just be a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
But like they don't ever explain like where he was or if something happened to him that they knew about. But you know, apparently,
yeah, they didn't really explain how any of those people got. I mean, it was just kind of like this general sense of you know all those other people had run in off the street too,
and BD Wong was letting them in.
And I do think that's a legitimate critique of the film is that there are no backstories for these characters. They're all
I don't want them to be.
They're all very much just like straight out of
old,
central casting.
Old lady,
right.
Racist guy, gay guy. I mean, it's very so they can all conflict and do
okay,
their,
that's fair. Right. But does anybody really want another 45 minutes of this movie?
Right, because to
give people
backstories, that's what you would need. So
no,
like, I'm fine
with
that.
I just wanted to, I was just curious when they talked about him. Like,
oh, no, I just meant the criticism that people were. I wasn't saying, I wasn't saying there shouldn't be any kind of details.
No.
I'm just saying that, like, a detailed backstory is a
right.
criticism.
No, we don't need that at all. I guess I kind of presumed he was dead, too, but you never really hear about it. But this sets up, the reason they even bring it up is because like Malkovich is a bigot, and you can tell that he's like, he called the cops or whatever because they wanted to have an addition on their house.
See, but, is he a bigot? I just thought he was a jerk.
Yeah, I think he's just a jerk.
Yeah, but I don't think it was really because he had to look at the, I mean, I think he was a jerk for sure, but I took it as kind of because they were gay. He was like, I'm not going to make.
I don't know. He hated everyone equally.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. Totally. But why even mention that he has a husband? I took it like they even threw that in there to be like, was it really about the building or was it because he is a jerk? And like, I don't know that he was okay with his neighbors.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's fair to read that either way.
Yeah. And I think it's hard to say in that as homosexuality is more and more accepted, like. It used to be, if there was a gay character in a movie, it was somehow emblematic of something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it carried some larger meaning or metaphor. It was trying to make some sociological point. But I really think we're starting to get to the tipping point where it can just be a character happens to be gay.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it necessarily needs to have a meaning, you know. And I know B.D. Wong is gay. And so, like, that might have been... he might have liked that aspect of it. Of it's just, it's very matter of fact
because he is in Mr. Robot too, and so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
that's two characters, you know, and with him being gay, that's interesting that he would play that. In both. So maybe that's something that he likes to do, just to make it more mainstream. You know, like
I think if he's gay, that's something he likes to do.
Yeah, to make the characters, you know, just to have it be a normal thing. Like to Tom's point, that it didn't actually have to move the plot along.
Right.
I read it as that they added it to make Malkovich's character even more of a bad person, but it may be
somebody who doesn't care about a pregnant woman is just kind of a dick.
Totally. Yeah.
There's also two black people in this house, and there's never any remotely racist comment.
No.
And B.D. Wong is not white, and he didn't seem to have a problem with him not being white. So.
I think it didn't, maybe I'm making this up, but didn't someone or Malkovich even say he's an equal opportunity asshole? I think that was a line.
I think someone even said
that he is. So yeah, he is a terrible person either way. So we find out that they're neighbors and that Malkovich has called the cops on them. So they have a little animosity there. And so anyway, but you've got all your cast of characters. You have Machine Gun Kelly, who's a rapper, just random. I've never seen him in a movie.
You're about to see him in a movie.
All right, really?
Yeah. He's playing Tommy Lee in The Dirt.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that, but
wait,
like.
Who's Tommy Lee?
From Motley Crue.
Okay, like, I
Pamela Anderson.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So that is, okay.
I can see that. I mean, if they age him up a little with the long hair.
They probably don't even have to age him up because I'm sure they're...
When he's younger.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be telling the story of Motley Crue in 1998.
That's true.
Nobody wants to see that.
No, that's true. He just looks like such a young kid.
Yeah. He does. So
he's in his long...
Okay, so we're talking about the blonde hair guy.
Yeah.
Right.
He's a rapper.
I don't know
He had beef with Eminem earlier this year. That's what put him on the map. You know, one of these... Probably orchestrated,
but they
did diss tracks back and forth where he was dissing Eminem, then Eminem came out with one
and
had an album coincidentally, you know, that kind of thing.
That does seem orchestrated.
So he popped up in this movie, and I'm like, really? Like, that's okay.
Especially since he has blonde hair, too. That feels like very, very...
Well, he's a white rapper. And
yeah,
so
I know, but Eminem's signature thing was his white hair, how he always, you know. Anyway.
But that's the thing. It's like they're beefing because it's like, you know, Eminem's the old man, and now they're put in the same category. Here's the white fast rapper. They're both have similar styles. So anyway, he pops up in here. There's a police officer that, and then those two become romantically involved.
She looks like Olivia from the Peloton instructor, like one of the tread instructors. Tom is like, where do I know her from? I'm like, she looks like Olivia.
I thought she reminded me of the girl from Orphan Black.
Yeah, Tatiana Maslany.
Sure, if that's what you say.
The main character?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those two become like, at first she's like, don't even think about it, buddy. And he's like, oh, it's the end of the world. And they end up hooking up in the next scene. So
that looks like her though, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
It does look like her.
Yeah. So you've got them. You've got the old lady is, who is that?
She's been in tons of stuff. She's like a character actor though, right?
Yeah.
Like she doesn't have like a signature or thing that she's
known
for.
No, but she's the old mom, and that's what she does though now.
Wasn't she Melissa McCarthy's mom in that awful school movie?
That might be the one that I'm thinking about. She's a comedic older lady, and I just can't, I'm not sure what her name is, but I'm looking at the...
Life of the Party.
Yeah, the mom in Life of the Party.
The actress's name?
Yeah.
Jackie Weaver.
Okay. Yep, that's her. Okay, so yeah, life of the party. She was the mom in that. I'm almost positive. So yeah, she plays like the older, you know, concerned lady. Then you've got Sandra Bullock. You have Tom, who is Trevante Rhodes. Am I missing anybody? We already mentioned Malkovich and Bea.
Did you talk about the other pregnant lady yet?
No, she hasn't showed up yet. Okay, that's the one that Trevante Rhodes.
And the grocery store.
Oh yeah, and he's from
Get Out.
He's from Get Out. He's he's the friend in Get Out that's like trying to
the TSA friend.
He's the friend. Yeah, he's good. So anyway, he's there, and then so skipping ahead, so another pregnant lady comes through. Like, they're very protective. Obviously, we've seen like don't let anybody in. And this other lady comes to help me. And Tom is like, I'm gonna let her in. And Malkovich is like, no, do not let anyone in. And then I think isn't this where Bullock pulls the shotgun and is her in?
Yep.
And so they cover up, like they hand her a blanket and say drape it over the lights so that it will cover the doorway. You know, we don't want to see out. And she ends up coming in, and you know, it crisis averted. Malkovich is like, you better put down that gun. You don't know how to use it. And she like pumps
it
a few times.
She knows how to use it very well.
Yes, yes. And so we find that she has, I guess that's where it comes in, like she had a messed up childhood or something.
I think that's where we find out that her dad was like a real life cowboy. That's
that's right.
She talks about it later whenever her and Tom are having
in
like
the
a private conversation.
Doesn't the sister want her to move to
sister's really into horses.
But her sister's into horses. They didn't talk so much about like the aspect, like I took it originally personally as like it was just like a horse. Like she was one of those like rich people that like ride rich horses, but that's not.
But I think she took over the farm or something and wanted her. She's like, move with me. I know you got the studio.
Yes.
So we find that out later. Yes. We're putting the pieces together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just circling back to this Jackie Weaver, I'm just putting this out there because I find it interesting. So I'm looking at her filmography, and she's been acting since 1966.
Hey,
Joe's here.
Hey, Joe's here. Okay, you can go, honey.
I'm out.
You're replaceable. So Jackie Weaver's filmography I find fascinating in that she's been acting since 1966. And she is clearly a working actress who's been in lots of things.
Oh, she was in Widows.
I didn't see that.
She plays, she is one of the main women in one of the Widows, her mom, and that. So I just
think it's interesting. She's been acting since 1966 and clearly a working actress. And she's in almost nothing I've ever even heard of.
She's the mom. She plays the mom with cancer in The Disaster Artist from The Room. I got cancer. The old lady.
Oh,
she's her.
Yeah.
You've seen her in.
But it's only been recently that she's in things I've even heard of. Like starting in 1971 with her films, Stork, Alvin Purple,
Silver
Linings
Playbook. She the mom, De Niro's wife.
But Peterson, Picnic in Hanging Rock. Sounds like I think
it's
I might
one
of have
my
heard
favorites.
Of that. And then The Removalist, Caddy, Squizzy Taylor, Abracadabra. The Perfectionist, and we're up to 87. The Perfectionist, which is such a nothing movie, Wikipedia doesn't even have a link for it.
Uh-huh.
Cozy, The Two-Wheeled Time Machine. Again, that's a short film. So
and then she took a 10-year break.
Yeah, and then but she does a lot of TV work. But even the TV shows from 66. Could you put that on TV back then? You can't put your Wanjana on TV. Homicide, but not the one.
Not the good one.
Not the good one.
Not The Life on the Streets.
Right. Maybe they had to subtitle to differentiate it from
she
this
was
show.
On Life Off the Streets.
Right. Then she was on Riptide, but again, in 1969, Division 4, Wabinda Animal Doctor.
These shows...
She's
but no
working,
one's heard
but
of
like,
these shows,
but like
right.
she's on thing. I mean, I know a lot of obscure television, and I've never even heard of these things.
But the most important fact here is that in 2012 she got a new agent because she's been working ever since.
She must have.
I mean, the 5-year engagement, Silver Lining Playbook. Anyway, lots of stuff there. But you know her. You know this character actor.
It's Sandra Bullock.
Oh, your mic isn't on because you weren't here.
Whoops!
Welcome.
Oh, we've just been talking to Joe.
Please. So Joe's here. sorry. To be fair, I didn't know at the time we recorded if you were coming.
No.
So.
I had a thing, so I had to get here a little bit later.
So, okay. So Joe's been talking for 10 minutes with the mic on. Let's go through.
People have been talking to Joe for 10 minutes.
Let's go through it. So movie's good.
Movie's great.
45 million views.
Which is insane.
Accounts.
Yeah. Accounts.
Not views.
Accounts. The old lady. I know who that old lady is.
Yeah. I think she was not. She wasn't in Devil, the old movie.
No. So it's.
This is all staying
in. Yeah, that's perfect. It's one of those things where I feel like Netflix, they know they're losing content. Mm-hmm. So they're just kind of. And do you think these people went to Netflix or?
We were having that conversation before you got here. Did Netflix commission this or did they acquire it?
Right.
And we're not sure. We think they commissioned it.
Okay.
But we're not 100%.
I mean, this is based on a 2014 book.
Okay.
So was there any
indication that this was part of the Cloverfield idea?
We haven't seen anything on that.
Okay.
Or have there been any murmurings? But
well, the only reason I say is because they had that Cloverfield origin story.
Right.
So I was wondering if
this
maybe
could easily slide into one of those surprises of Cloverfield movies.
Yeah.
But my guess is Sandra Bullock was like, don't suck me into that bullshit.
Right. But yeah, like
I'm Sandra Bullock.
It's Sandra Bullock.
I'm not doing that.
When people just let the woman from Bird Box, and it's just like, you mean Academy Award winning Sandra Bullock, yeah, who's been acting since Speed? And it's just, so like the anger that
an Atkinson's Love Potion number 9.
That's
yes.
True. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Man,
yeah.
I love that movie.
Is that the
that was like 1995 or 94?
Tate Donovan?
I don't
know.
Is that,
I just
he's the other
Sandra
guy,
Bullock.
Right?
But that predates Speed.
Yeah. Oh,
yes, it does. Speed's that was like, the very first movie she was in that
like
she was like a big deal.
97?
No.
94?
No, the first
I think
one?
It's earlier than that.
94?
91 or 92 for
no,
the first
I think
one.
It's 94.
I don't think.
Look it up, Tommy. Look it up. Look
I don't,
it up, Tommy.
God, 94. Love Potion number 9 okay. Was when?
That had to be in the 80s.
No.
No.
I was older than that.
Okay. Well, the first thing I ever saw.
I was in. You know what? We'll just say I was older. That is the one. That's the one with Tate Donovan where it's almost like Banaka.
I don't know who Tate Donovan is.
You would. If you would.
92.
If you
92.
Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah, I'll go with that.
So it's just she's. It's interesting that Netflix is able at this point. Netflix is able to acquire actors of her caliber.
I mean, the lines are so blurred now, though.
Well, between, I mean, like, but I think that's the point he's making is that that there 5 years ago,
yeah,
Sandra Bullock to do a Netflix movie, she'd have been like, "Go f yourself."
Right.
Right.
I mean, she won the Oscar for Blindside.
It would have been deemed as a major career.
It would have been like doing a made-for-TV
downgrade.
Movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's where we live now. It's crazy that movies, television, Netflix for both counts. It's like it's all.
I still don't get why Netflix won't just release them theatrically. Like, why not?
This would have made some serious.
Why
bank.
Not release it theatrically? Get that cash, and then you're the only streaming service that has this major theatrical
release. How long
release.
Do you leave in theaters?
I think they're trying to get people to have Netflix
a
accounts, though. Like,
who doesn't have a Netflix account?
But don't
though?
You think people would be just as apt to get a Netflix account and you get all the box office money? If, like, you put out this big hit movie, and then the only place it will ever live is on Netflix.
Yeah,
you don't sell TV rights.
I think
rights,
it's value
nothing.
Added, though. I think it's just like you to spend to just for that $10 a month, you need exclusive stuff. To where like, oh, this is worth my $10.
I guess I feel like perceptually it would raise the pedigree of the content because
yeah,
a lot of people look at things yeah, as like this is like, well, that's just a direct to DVD movie. Who cares
what they could do?
But it got 45 million.
No,
account
I mean, clearly,
so clearly
it's
that's
shifting.
Not,
yeah,
yeah,
what they could do is I. One of the models that I've always found interesting that they could implement is they do these Hollywood movies with Hollywood stars, take that money and kind of filter it back through Netflix and give up and coming filmmakers and mostly filmmakers and writers the outlet to get their stuff out there.
Well, they are. And that's one of the complaints, though, is that they're creating. They're really good at creating content because
right,
they're just throwing money at people. But they're not very good at marketing their content, and that's
true.
And that
I didn't hear about this movie until,
but even
a
then,
week after it came out,
this is a priority film for them.
Sure.
There's a lot of content on
Roma's
Netflix.
On there.
Yeah, it was produced by Netflix.
Right,
yeah. But there's a lot of content on Netflix that has been produced and just sits there.
Yeah,
and nobody knows it's there. And filmmakers are starting to get frustrated because while it's great to get the money and get the work, they're creating this content that nobody ever sees because unless the algorithm pushes it up into those top five things,
sure,
nobody ever stumbles across.
But
it.
I always go through the new releases, and they're always going to end up there if they're new.
But I
not
I,
just suggest.
I think that's a rare thing, honestly.
I don't know that most people do that. Two, I think that there are a lot of things being made that aren't even ending up there. There's a lot of content being created.
Well,
for
remember
Netflix.
The whole article where they couldn't find people couldn't find Infinity War because
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, they would search Avengers and it wouldn't show up. So they had they got to the word Infinity and then it popped up. But like even Avengers wasn't like it wasn't. So we got I think it came out the day after Christmas on Netflix. So they pulled Moana, awful thing in my house. I'll tell you that. Right.
So they made way for Avengers.
They did.
They made way.
But then they couldn't find it. Like people were just like, I don't understand. It wasn't on the top. It wasn't like, you know, new releases or recently added.
That whole thing blows my mind because I can't imagine not buying an Avengers movie. So like I would never go to Netflix. I can watch Avengers now. Well, like, I've owned that for 6 months.
I own them all. But at the same time, I was, you know, you flip through.
There's
just like
ease
I
can just go to streaming.
Yeah, Black Panther's
I do digitally. I just mean like I'm not waiting for its release after Christmas on Netflix. I'm like, the Blu-ray comes out for Avengers.
Well, they
didn't even say.
Like there was no like if it's coming at the day after Christmas. They was just
I think people knew they talked that up. They said Avengers was coming. Yeah. Like they did promote that.
They hope.
So
this movie. So we're at the where the gal shows up. Okay,
she has a shotgun. She takes Malkovich's shotgun.
I do.
She knows how to use it.
She and I did like that where Malkovich is just such a great scumbag.
Oh yeah,
you know, and you forget how great of a scumbag he is because he kind of leans into the comedy a little bit recently.
Yeah,
he kind of leans
into. Malkovich is great.
Oh yeah,
he's always been great.
Yeah,
he's so dry. It's that dry sense of humor.
He's
excellent at that.
Con Air,
being John Malkovich,
so good.
Playing himself, being a dry comedic jerk. You know, like it's just he's always great.
And I do like the line where he's just like, just you don't know how to work that thing anyway.
Yeah,
she racks
that's
it and just you know takes out all the bullets.
Exactly.
Shells. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not bullets.
Bullets. Bullets. Shotgun bullets.
Shotgun bullets. And it's just it is interesting that in this movie they just open this door willy nilly. Like, they just let anybody in.
I don't think it's willy-nilly.
Well, I mean, every time Malkovich has a problem with it.
They let the second guy in.
Yeah. But every time there's a problem.
Not Malkovich. Malkovich.
Tom, because he's a nice guy.
Right.
So they're
always... But, like, Tom and then the new gal...
Tom is a nice guy.
The new gal that they let in is just like, okay, and just opens the door for the weird guy to come in.
Yeah.
For the second guy where, like, even everybody's just like, what are you doing?
It's Night of the Living Dead for a little while.
And I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
like it's a cool homage to Night of the Living Dead without being an homage.
Can I just say I hated her character?
Which one,
Olympia?
Yeah, she's terrible.
Like
yeah.
Too
nice.
She was too nice. It was fake, even as like an actor being fake. Like it was too fake.
I've known people like this. There are people
and
that
they
are
irritate
saccharine
the out of
right.
me.
But it's like those are real people that are just saccharine sweet all
but
the time.
I like her line where she's just like, "I'm soft," you know, and they're having that conversation. Yeah. Later, after she lets the weirdo in.
Yeah.
Where she's just like, I was...
Yeah, people like that are never cognizant of the fact that they're like that, though. So
that's
that
fair.
Conversation would never occur
in real
life. I don't
know. I feel like maybe if it's the end of the world.
Maybe.
You know,
okay,
and you're sitting there having this conversation with this other pregnant woman, you have a moment of weakness, and it's not a moment of weakness, but just like self-reflection, I guess, because you're going to die.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I just don't give people that much credit.
That's fair. That's fair. That's totally fair. So yeah, they let her in, and she's kind of explaining that her husband was in the military, right? I think that's right.
Yeah,
and he was deployed, and I guess he's gone.
Like, right?
There's no, he's not coming back.
He was overseas, more closer where it started. It started in Europe,
right?
And
right.
So she's,
Russia.
And she's there alone.
So it didn't start in Syria.
No, is that a thing?
Well, because we don't have troops there anymore.
That's
right?
True. We don't.
Well,
yeah.
We brought them home.
Well, that's the other thing is they don't explain how it moves, which I'm
they
fine
don't have
with.
To.
No, I'm fine with that. Like, I don't need an explanation as to like what this thing is, how it's moving from thing to from
that's the thing
across
is,
the water.
We talked
us.
About this though. If they showed you or explained anything about it, you're just opening up for well, that's dumb, that's stupid looking,
sure.
That doesn't make sense. It's like it has to be a mystery for this type
of
movie.
That's their advantage is you save on the budget too.
Yeah,
you
well,
never
right,
show the monster.
Exactly,
you, you show some wind blowing
just
in
more
the trees.
Money for Sandra Bullock.
That's right.
Yep.
So, yeah, so they kind of give her the lowdown of the place. And she, again, like Crystal said, she's just overly nice to everybody, and she's, you know, thankful and
just want to punch her in the face.
At least she didn't say stomach.
So we skipped.
No,
around.
She's pregnant. Come on, Joe.
So we skipped around. We should go back to before she showed up. They were out of food, so they had to take a trip to a grocery store. I really like how they used the car's sensors to get there.
Yeah,
I also like that so many horror movies. They have to figure out a way to remove technology from the equation because it makes it too easy
sure.
for their film to work, or it would solve problems.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's always like, oh, we all of our cell phones don't work, you know. And instead they use technology as a way to navigate literally this world.
Not only that, but they take technology out of it by saying that they can get through even technology. Like the B.D. Wong thing. Like the B.D. Wong thing. You know, where they do a thing where they can, like you said, where they are constantly like, oh, my cell phone doesn't work. Well, now they can't use anything. They can't use the cameras on the outside of the house because whatever this is.
Or they can't, like, hold the cell phone in front of their face.
Exactly.
And that's how we know they can't use the car's camera either in reverse the whole way. It's like, because, so we didn't mention it, but spoilers, B.D. Wong gets it. They strap
it. Doesn't he get it here?
I thought he did before this, because that's how they tape up the camera and stuff.
Yeah, it was right before
So B.D. Wong was like, I'll just use my security system, and they strap him to a chair so he supposedly can't kill himself. And so he looks at the monitors, his eyes go droopy, melty, whatever effect, and then he rocks his head into a rock or whatever.
And that's the thing about this movie, is it lulls you into a false sense of security all the time.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, nope, I don't know. Yeah. You know, like the whole, I'm sure you talked about it before I got here, Sarah Paulson scene.
Yeah.
Like, I thought was one of the most effective scenes in the entire movie, because you know something is coming. You know it, but you just don't know when or where.
Yeah.
And then when she flips, you're just like, oh no.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's a really, the movie sucks you in. It does a really good job. We all enjoyed it, you know, and I think it was filmed well. That's good acting. And
female director, which I always like.
That's good, yeah.
It's interesting
clearly
to see.
Clearly superior.
I mean, okay.
why do you like A Quiet Place so much better?
Huh? It is interesting to see that, like, in the female director world, there's a lot more horror female directors that have kind of gotten the push recently. I just find that very interesting that genre has kind of fostered that.
Yeah, I think it's across the board, though, too. We're getting a lot more female directors and all over the place.
I wonder if some of it, though, is that horror has always kind of fostered, been an easy entry point for first-time directors.
It is,
because they're cheaper films.
Right.
Yep. So you can roll the dice
on somebody.
On an untested director. Absolutely. It's a lot easier to do that.
Ask Jordan Peele.
I really love this part, though. So they're like, we got to get to the grocery store, but we can't go outside. How are we going to do this? And so they use paint to black out all the windows. They cover up the camera. They can't use the camera, but they use the navigation system. And, you know, I've been in cars. The newer cars have sensors all around them. If you're about to hit something, you know, it's like you're getting close.
It's irritating. I turn it off.
Yeah. You're getting close on
like,
the right.
Like, I know how close I am.
You're getting close in the front, the right side, whatever. So they literally just follow the GPS and wait for it to say you're about to hit something and go around it. It's a really cool technique.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a movie. In real life, would you not be hitting stuff and bumping at curbs?
Would.
Totally unbelievable. But I liked it in the movie.
Yeah, I liked how they used it. I will say, though, it was ridiculous that it was over a mile and a half, and the map was so, like, it was only this big. And I was like, that is like a block.
Yeah.
Okay, like, I have used my map a lot.
Yeah, it's a cool concept. This is a movie. It also is a movie.
I will also say, I felt it was a bit of a cheat when they come back and it's just like
they just came back. That was the worst
and
part.
We're in the garage.
I
was like, I want to see
a minute.
I want to see the 45 minutes of them trying to get this car
into the
garage.
Yes.
See, that we think exactly like, because when they showed up after they do the grocery store run, Malkovich gets drunk. He's like, we can just stay here. Why don't we just stay here? And they're like, we're good people, that's why. And so we have to bring food back to everyone else, and then it snapped, they're in the garage.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I was, as they were backing out of the garage, I was like, how do you get back into the garage?
Totally.
But it's not like they have bumpers to
No, it just, when they were in the garage like that, and the door closes, the next scene, cut to the garage, doors closing behind them, I was like,
how do you
mad.
How do you even know when you're in the garage enough?
That's a plot hole.
I guess you could know because you would hit the garage.
But they didn't. They should have shown that.
It's a pure plot hole. It is what it is. It's a cool concept, but
I know how hard it is for us to park in the garage. We got to have two of us in
you don't black out your window?
No.
And
I can see through everything, and I'm still terrified. I'm going to hit something. Oh, my God.
You guys do have two brand new cars.
I know.
You get, like, one of my cars. I'm like, nah, it's fine. I'll just bounce off of it.
I mean, there's, like, half an inch between the garage door and the bumper. Like, it is legit measured to every...
It's tight.
Yes.
It's still... better than the old house.
Oh my God, it's way better than the old house.
The old house, I didn't realize. So a standard garage is 16 feet wide,
okay,
which is what this is, but the old house was 15 feet.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so that extra foot
makes a huge, huge difference.
Just ask my wife. 12 inches makes a big difference.
Bottom out.
That was like I couldn't believe we got two cars.
Because when we pulled in, we both had to like look at the mirrors, and the mirrors had to brush the side of the little bumper
rubber weather.
Sure.
Yeah,
it was like,
so close.
So there's no way they got in this garage. Right. Is what I'm saying.
They were only parking one car in it though.
That's true. They weren't getting two. So you've got some room.
Still, like, how did they know we're?
We're an hour into this.
I know.
Move along.
So like we should say that we lose. Is it Ray?
So right. The two kids that were banging, Machine Gun Kelly.
No. We lost the clerk
because,
from the store.
Oh, because at the grocery store. Yeah. Yeah,
there the guy from This Is Us. From
Get Out.
Get Out.
Us is his new one.
They're really similar.
Right. No, he died in the grocery store saving them.
I do like where he's just like, hey, it's Fishy Fingers, whatever. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, it's me. And then this is the first time we see one of these things. A human who has survived somehow.
Yeah.
But there's no indication as to how or why.
Yeah, no, I take it as they're crazy cult-like follower people that they all start saying they're going to cleanse the earth.
But how do they survive? Like, what
because
in their brain?
Because they're already crazy.
They're crazy. Like, they're...
It can't drive them crazy.
Because they're already there.
Because they're already
crazy. They're like, oh,
crazy.
This is great that everyone's dying and stuff. They're just nuts. So,
okay.
Like, yeah.
So there's been some complaints about, like, that's... Be bad to treat the mentally ill that way.
Oh my goodness. God!
But I don't think it's bad because it's a device that makes it even scarier of a film.
You don't know. To think that my ex-wife would still be alive.
Well, as long as we tape up
true
the windows,
true
dad.
Yeah,
So they get back.
The
kids
have to
steal the car.
Yeah, Machine Gun Kelly. That's pretty good.
That's his literal name.
That's his name.
Oh, that's who that was?
He's a rapper.
Oh, I know who he is.
I didn't realize that's who that was.
That's
what I'm saying. I'm like, Machine Gun Kelly's in this movie? What?
Why not?
Apparently he's in a Tommy Lee biopic.
He's going to play Tommy Lee in the dirt.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
When you look at him,
and you look at
Tommy Lee, you're like, okay.
Yeah,
he's from the waist up.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know about the waist down. I mean,
we saw that scene of them in the closet. I don't know if...
I mean, more power to Tommy Lee. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, like maybe it is like Tommy Lee. It had to be a walk-in closet.
Yeah, right. Like, also, like, Tommy Lee needs any more reason to be, like, cool. You know, like, he's the drummer for Motley Crue and...
Pamela Anderson.
And Heather Locklear. No. Was he Heather Locklear? Or was that...
No, that was Richie Sambora.
Richie Sambora. No, it was
somebody
Carmen
else. Electra?
No, that was Dave Navarro.
Okay.
Anyway, so they get back. They steal the car. And it's at this point, then the new
they
gal.
They lock up Malkovich.
Yeah, Malkovich. The new gal lets in weirdo guy.
Yeah.
He kind of gives an explanation, and you're kind of on board for a minute, but Malkovich, to his credit, is just like, no.
This is really good head fake, though, because they did this three times, and it's like, fool me three times,
right.
Shame on me. Or, you know, because.
You mean three times, including Sandra Bullock?
Yeah. So they've let in three people, and they're all good, nice people, and you're like,
right.
Malkovich is just an asshole. Like, this dude's great. And then they finally flip it where your brain's used to,
like,
oh, well, these are all survivors.
He made it.
So I thought this was a great twist, but they start having their babies, and he stays downstairs, and he whips out a drawing sketch pad of all these demon pictures.
You,
like, oh.
You knew at that point when he turned, you know, it's one of those things where, like, classical music is in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Is usually
he puts on a record of the, like,
it's something.
Well, they're having babies, and he's like, like, composing his classical music.
And
you're like, this guy's a weirdo.
He flips open that sketch. Book and it's just demons.
He lays out all the demons, and this is where it's like we talked about, the people see what they see. They all look different, and so he has a bunch of different drawings, and I guess he's envisioned all these different forms of the thing.
I will say, did nobody notice his eyeballs?
No, they didn't look like that yet. They turned that weird
thing.
They
did.
When it appeared back.
But I kind of think that's a little bit of a plot hole later, because whenever later at the end, whenever they let Sandra Bullock and the kids in, they check her eyes. So, like, his eyes should have already been turned.
They should have been a little wonky.
But they did not. They were not at first. When he first came in, they were normal. They were normal.
Okay. Fair enough.
Normal eyeballs. Yeah. I wonder if there's a turn. I wonder if something happened in that we didn't. I don't know. I can't. That
that's a good point, though. But
maybe
so
he's bipolar and he has good days and bad days.
Well, I mean, that could be. But you would think that, like, the like already being bipolar would have already triggered what, because like
I'm mean, saying like theory, maybe he's having like a good moment.
Yeah, but by your theory of like it doesn't affect the people who are already crazy,
right?
If you're already crazy, it's already
maybe you can
in
turn
your,
it
it's
off
all,
and on.
No, no, or? Like it's already in your brain. So like even let's say I haven't been diagnosed yet, but it's already there.
Right.
It should just, it's like a mutant gene.
Like yeah, it should just trigger it.
Right.
And then, so like the guy wouldn't be able to turn it on and off.
Well, I didn't say he was doing it well.
No. But I mean, like when you're having a high day or a low day,
right?
I think it should just be across the board. You've already got it.
Right.
But he used it. He used it as a Trojan horse. Like he lied and said that he was with other people
that
who were
crazy.
Doing what he ended up doing.
I wonder if he was the other people.
I think he was.
That's what I think he was. But what? What if he turned during it? I don't know. Maybe he did turn.
Maybe.
I take it as he was faking it to get in there.
Yeah.
So they have the babies.
We should say that they all, at this point, we know, they're doing these flashbacks with the people in the house and then Sandra Bullock and these kids.
On the river.
And I was like, man, which one is hers? Because they,
right.
Because
they don't tell you.
They don't tell you. They don't tell you until this moment where they tell you.
Yeah, because she just keeps calling them girl and boy.
And they tell you. Because they show the girl holding.
That's the point.
This is where they show.
Where it's like they come back from the store and Sandra Bullock's character has.
I thought you're talking about when they actually tell each one what gender.
No. Gotcha. Like we don't, and they don't call her mom. Neither one of them call her mom.
Well, that's
so.
Part
at that point, I was like, oh god, she lost her baby. These are twins. Like I don't know what's going
on. That's part of the intrigue of this movie too, is because you're like, why does she have two kids and which one's which? So this movie keeps you interested.
Which one is she going to sacrifice?
Yeah. So
like, that's the thing that they tease in this at this later.
So we're leading up to why they're on the river. So we know they're on the river together, and it flashes back to they run into a crazy person. I think we should just skip over this, but they encounter in present day on the river a crazy person,
which I thought initially was like the whatever this is messing with them, until it got like, because there are shots where she's fighting but you don't see like his hands or anything.
Sure.
So I was like, man, is this what this thing does? Like it manifests.
Because sometimes we hear voices.
It does. Sometimes it does. Right. But this is a creeper. So he's
super
trying. He's trying to lure him. She has a gun though. She shoots him, and he ends up drowning. And they move along. So back here,
they have the kids.
Malkovich is locked up because he tried to fight the real bad guy.
Right.
He goes upstairs and it's totally creepy. Let me see your babies.
Oh man.
Total creeper.
At that point his eyes have already changed.
Yeah, and now he's tearing window covering.
The new mom, not Sandra Bullock, the other character.
Yeah. Olympia.
Olympia looks at the window and is just like, I will, like, Sandra Bullock is just like, hey, can I see that baby? Like, I just want to hold her for like a minute.
Good. And
then,
she like, turns a minute, back for a second.
She snaps
gives her
back,
the, yeah.
gives her the baby, and then full speed out the window.
I love that meme with Ralph going out the window. Bird Box meme without spoilers. And it's Ralph just
without
flipping out.
Bird Box spoilers without context.
Oh, okay. And Ralph is just
the other one that I've seen is the one with the old lady.
There's tons
where they're just like, where he's trying to like, so the old lady shows up and this is this
part. So the old lady is like, what are you doing?
Right. And he grabs her. He's like, you should see, and like pries her eyes open.
And she has scissors in her hand to like protect, but she turns crazy and then jabs it in her own
like
neck.
Like three or four times. And then she dies.
Yeah.
And then Malkovich shows up, who has gotten out.
Yeah.
He has a blindfold on.
No, he's just looking down.
Well, because Tom is downstairs. He finds Creeper,
first.
But he slams him over the head with a glass or something and knocks him out. And so now the gun that Malkovich has, the other guy and him like fall off the stairway down the stairs.
So Malkovich, again, is just kind of like he shoots once and wings
wounds
them.
Yeah,
and then they go over again. If you have a railing, a wooden railing,
you're gonna go over it. It's like a glass coffee table
onto a piano.
I'm pissed that there wasn't a piano.
Yeah, there should have been a piano.
glass coffee table. Yeah.
So they're struggling. The wounded bad guy and Tom, who is looping.
No, Tom's already out.
Wakes up and there's
he kills through. Malkovich. So the crazy guy they let in, kind of when they fall, Malkovich hasn't regained consciousness yet. The crazy guy has knife.
The scissors, right?
And kills stabs, him. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stabs Malcolm and kills him.
Yeah. And that's when Tom wakes up.
And then they cut away to Sandra Bullock, who's upstairs. She's covered herself up with a cover, holding the two babies. You hear two shots,
mm-hmm.
and you just assume that
that he got Tom.
That he got Tom, and then Tom walks up and kind of holds Sandra Bullock. And I do like that they hint at this romantic relationship between them. They don't hit you over the head with it. It's pretty subtle with like the scene in the store with the diapers or like them.
It's cute,
like when she takes his hand and like puts it on her belly for the first time. And he's kind of, so
you could see it coming. They planted the seeds.
It's not like Machine Gun
on.
Kelly and the cop who was just
That wasn't love.
Not at all. There's your sequel. I was like, what happened to them?
Right?
Oh, they get out of the house for 5 minutes and they're both dead. That's what happens.
Which is,
right. So he shows up and then we flash forward about 5 years.
It's like, 5 years later, the kids are pretty much the age they are when they're on the river.
Right.
And you see her, Sandra Bullock's training them to, they get the call from
this guy
like, they don't know if it's a trick or not, but they're like, come down the river. It's going to be dangerous. Someone's going to have to look at some point.
Yeah.
And so that's why she's training them this whole time. But meanwhile, there's like bad scavenger type people.
Well, no,
these
are the crazies. Who show up.
Who are driving around and like doing figure eights. So they know they're not painting the windows.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they show up and they get to this house. They're out of food, I think, so they
go to another house.
It's a very sweet scene where they find Pop-Tarts for the first, and the kids have never had it.
They've never had strawberries. Yeah.
I do like where Sandra Bullock's like, they don't really taste like this. that's a very good line.
And the whole time, we alluded to this at the very beginning, but we're like, why is Sandra Bullock such a hard ass to these kids?
Right.
And this whole time from what she's gone through, and also it's like, she's kind of like, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to help you survive.
Right.
This whole time, like, Tom is a very sweet. He's more of a father figure than she is a mother figure.
And she is she is one of these child's biological mother.
Right. And he's telling the story to give them hope. And she's like, she cuts it off because she's like, I don't want them to have hope for something they'll never see.
Right.
And so she's a hard ass the whole time. And you feel bad for Tom because he's such a good guy.
And her character honestly never changes. Like, her character doesn't...
The very end.
But, like, throughout the entire movie, her character is basically the same, no matter what, until the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, they... Tom's like, look, I love you. You gotta go.
There's, like four cars.
I need to
stay
behind, but this is the only way this is gonna work.
Four or five bad guys show up.
Right.
It's
a couple guys that you would recognize. Like, it's the bad guy. I think it's the guy from... That was, like, the fake Joker in The Dark Knight.
Oh, really? David DeMouse.
Sure.
He's in the Office movie where everyone Belko Experiment.
Oh yeah, he's also in Ant-Man.
Yeah, he's a James Gunn guy. He's in the horror movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, David DeMouse. These guys show up and Tom just like, you gotta go. And he goes out, and so Sandra Bullock takes the kids and they get to this boat, and this is where we see that's the opening of this movie is where we are now. They do mention earlier in the movie that he was in the military, but they give no indication of what his skills are until now.
Bit of a badass with a shotgun. And I love the way he takes them all out.
He starts mowing these people down. Like, so he knows he's going to die, so he just kicks his blindfold off anyway and just starts mowing these people down until the last
second. I think that he kills, and there's one left going after
them. That's the guy from Dark Knight.
Yeah, and he tracks them down, because he's injured, but going after the kids and Sandra Bullock, and he is able to take him out with his like dirty hairy revolver. Then he turns it on himself. It ends up taking him.
Yes. So then they get on
they hear two shots. It's like one for the bad guy, one for Tom.
So, and again, this just makes Sandra Bullock's character even more
hardened.
I wouldn't say relatable, but she is very relatable. But also very hardened, because now she's lost everything. She's lost her sister. She's lost...
Except for her biological child.
Except for the one thing that's in this boat that is the most important. So they get, they're going down, and she's like, one of you is going to have to
look. And this is so sad, too, because the little girl knows
she's
not her biological child. And so the boy is like, I'll do it. And she's like, no, I'll decide.
She's like, no, I'll decide.
And the
little
girl's
like, well, no, you're not. You jerk. It's going to be me.
She's looking at her dirty Hello Kitty toy thing. And you can tell that she's just like... she's not nice to the girl, right. And then she's like, "I'll do it." And Bullock doesn't
say
anything.
She's not nice to either.
She's
of
not
them.
Nice yeah. to either.
I don't feel like the girl singled out.
No,
here.
No.
She's not nice
but
to
I still,
them.
But I, especially when the kid's like, "I'll do it." No, no, no. I'll decide. Like,
see, I didn't
take it that way. I took it that like, way either. Like, she didn't want either of them to take responsibility for it.
That's how I took
it. She wanted. She didn't want them to make the choice. She wanted to make the choice because
she was relieving them of the guilt
that they would have later.
So I took it.
I very much took it like that because that is exactly what I would do as a parent. I'd be like, "You don't decide that. I will decide that."
That's until the second time. Like,
no. As soon as the little boy speaks up, she says, "No, I'll decide."
Well, she does say, "I'll decide."
But then when the girl says it, she doesn't have that reaction.
I think
then she finally says, "I'll decide."
There's a moment.
I think she thinks like it's like she's the guilt like consumed. Like when the little girl says it, she kind of. I took it as she was like, I can't do that to that little girl. Like, I can't possibly decide. There's no way for
There's
me
a
to
pause,
choose.
Though. Why is there no pause with the boy and a pause with the girl? I took it as like she was quick to say, no, I'll decide
that's
with the
interesting.
Boy.
I didn't take it that
and
way
the girl,
at all.
She sits there and it's so sad. They hang on the girl. And then, but then she flashes back to the mom and stuff and has a moment. And then she's like, no, I'll decide. Neither of you will. Like, I took it differently. It's open to interpretation.
It is, absolutely.
But I totally, when she's quick with that boy to say no, I'm like, and they show the little girl's sad face. I'm like,
like,
she doesn't, she's like, this isn't my own. And I felt that she felt differently towards them. But.
That's interesting.
I think that's the way I read it as well. Yeah. Is like the first, when the boy's like, I'll do it. She's like, no.
I feel like maybe I'm like projecting because as a stepmom, I would have had the same reaction, but not because I would pick one over the other. It's because I wouldn't want them to choose. And so whenever she got to the second part, I'd be like, the pause to me was how can I choose?
But why did they flash back to Olympia and stuff unless it was to change her mind?
And I didn't think it was to change her mind. I thought it was to remind her of how that little girl is from her mom. Yeah. And so that's and the, like she couldn't make the choice. Like there was no way to decide.
I read it as I'm not going to send my biological son. There's a moment of pause where she's like, I could send this kid that I don't
have any
Well,
she volunteered.
But also...
she
like,
did volunteer.
And then she flashes to Olympia and she's like, of course
right.
I can't.
Right.
I can't choose.
And I don't think at that point, I can't... I have
to believe she treats these things for as her daughter.
Right, because she's raised them literally from infancy, from the second she was born.
Right.
And it's like, I feel that way about Brian, and it's like, I didn't raise him since birth, you know? And I do feel the same way. There would be no way I could choose between them.
But this character didn't even want her own kid. Like, this is a messed up character, too.
It is a messed up character, but she's...
But the fact that she doesn't want her own kid means that she really is kind of neutral.
Yeah, that's how I took it. Like, you know, she doesn't want to be a mom. It's not about one kid over the other. It's about she doesn't want to be close to either of them, and it's a total defense mechanism. It's like whenever you've been burned in a bad relationship, you don't want to go into the next relationship and let go because you're so scared, and that's how I take it.
Because I feel like if she was prepared to pick the son over
the girl,
then they wouldn't be called boy-girl. They'd be called...
Tom and Olympia.
Tom and girl.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Exactly.
Sure. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
So, yeah. So they, Sandra Bullock decides, she's like, you know what? I can't, nobody's looking. Which I was just like, bold move.
Yes.
Yeah. And when they show the rapids initially.
So everyone says you have to look, but then she decides you're not
like,
going to look.
No.
Somehow
it's
going to work
gonna
out.
I'm going to wing it. But like the rapids didn't look that bad initially,
right?
Like it was like, oh,
that aerial view was terrifying.
And then, well, like, but
in
you,
a freaking it, canoe,
that's true. If you look at it though, like it looks like they stop, and then they don't. Like they just it gets worse as they go forward. So the boat flips, everybody falls out. Girl ends up on the shore. Tom, a boy, and Sandra Bullock. It's like she has to pull him to safety.
They all have these bells that she got from
like
one of the houses
like
along the way.
Like a bike bell.
Yeah, and that's how they find each other.
Right. So now this whatever this thing is just attacking them just incessantly.
It tries to trick you into thinking everything's okay.
Right.
Like, is it, you know, like the voice of a loved one? Or,
right. So
it takes over for both of them, the voice of Sandra Bullock, trying to trick them. It's okay. It's beautiful.
Take it off.
Blindfold off.
I do like the one girl's like, are you sure? I don't think it's...
this
I don't,
is not what you've ever said before.
No, the clue is, what, you're being nice to me?
Yeah, that is also true.
Where, like, it's like, this is beautiful. Take off the blindfold. Yeah, she's never said anything like
this. Boys kind of like, she's terrified. Like, because... So Sandra Bullock finds the boy first, and he's just like, she being the girl, is absolutely terrified.
I think that's another clue. I mean, I think she's much meaner to the girl and not nice to the, like, I just think that she doesn't like to be a mom for either of them, but I think that's the other thing to where she's just like, harder on the girl for some reason.
But I see, again, I think it's just projection, because I took it as like, you know, boys and girls are different. I'm and so I take it as like the boy is more accepting of that, and the girl is more like needs that maternal love, and so she doesn't get it from Sandra Bullock because she's so hard ass all the time. Yeah. It's not so much that she's meaner to the girl; it's that the boy and the girl perceive it differently. Yeah, that was
for some reason. I think she knows she's not the maternal daughter,
and she very well might know, but I don't think it's because Sandra Bullock did it wrong. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, sure. So yeah, so they this creature or whatever this thing is tricking all three of them. You think at one point you're gonna lose girl,
yeah,
because she does take the blindfold off, but she never opens her eyes.
No. She finds boy, girl's washed up on shore, they find her, and
they kind of walk away,
puts the blindfold back on,
right?
But this is part I didn't like, is this this it all pretty much wraps up right here,
where
and it's
they
very
go to,
cheesy
where they go to the Xavier Institute for gifted
yeah,
children.
But they also, this is the part where it falls apart, because she's been a hard ass the whole time, and then all of a sudden she gives this speech that's supposed to be so
I thought it was cheesy.
I didn't like it. She
was faced with losing everything.
Totally.
When she says she's sorry, is that what you're talking about?
I just didn't like her. When she's trying to find girl, I just thought it was kind of cheesy. It was supposed to be this big climactic triumphant speech. And I get it. I didn't say I hate this movie now and this is dumb. But like they wanted it to be so much more powerful than it was. And I didn't like the big speech.
I get it. And also, I mean, she goes for it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's so interesting. As a mom, I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like that's totally something I would do, because like I could see myself being just as harsh as her, like, you're gonna fucking die. Yeah. Like if you take those blindfolds off, you're gonna die. Like
right.
I am that harsh with the kids whenever they do something awful or scary or dangerous.
Yeah.
And so whenever she's like that, I could see being like, I shouldn't have been so harsh with you. I'm so sorry. You know, like I should have let you be a kid.
Your gut reaction is to go into protect mode.
Yes, exactly. And
it's
so
not
as
that
a
she
mom,
did
I
it. I don't think the writing was that good, or I just, something about it was cheesy. I don't think the moment was bad. I didn't like the execution of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously all. You're entitled. I just thought it was interesting that, like, just as a different, like,
yeah,
from my own perspective as being a mom, I feel like I could see myself being that character.
Sure,
is what I'm
it was a little cutesy the way it wrapped. Now all of a sudden she loves them.
Well,
and then,
that's the thing is, like, I think she always loved them.
She always loved them. She was keeping the hard outer shell because
she didn't
want to get hurt. She didn't want to experience more loss.
And she
was,
didn't want them to be soft and die.
Yeah.
Which we look at Olympia.
Right.
True.
And she is soft the entire time. And and it costs her in the end.
Yeah. Maybe I misspoke. I don't mean that she didn't love them or whatever. I didn't like the writing of this. I thought
it was
cheesy. I don't like the execution of it.
I get
the character motivation, her finally realizing and all that. But to me, I was like,
it was too instant
was like,
of a flip.
I was like, Hallmark speech. Like, I just, it
to
didn't
be fair, I love the cheesy Hallmark movies.
Yeah, so I just, that's all. I was like, well,
right,
I'm like, move
right
on.
In your wheelhouse.
I just
it really is.
Move on.
So,
I don't need to
so
see
they,
this.
So they have the moment where they all get back together. They go to the Xavier School for Gifted Children, where they meet Professor Xavier.
Yeah. So the guy they were talking to, dun dun dun, is blind.
Is blind. Yeah. And I was just like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of brilliant.
And like, Tom said he called it early on.
Oh, he called it way early. Like they're heading down the river. He's like, well, they're going to a blindfold.
Because they can never see and never be tricked. So it's like, so now, but this is what I like, though. It wraps up cutesy and happy ending, which I don't like. But I like the concept that now the blind are the one with the advantages.
Right.
And the people with sight are at the disadvantage.
And I felt the reason I thought they were going to a school for the blind is because I felt like we would have seen a blind character.
Sure.
If the payoff wasn't. They're going to a blind.
That's
which
fair.
Is just interesting because I was like, well, that's too obvious. That can't be right. And then like they show the plaque and I was like, thank you, Tom.
We talked about Gone Girl and how Tom knew.
Oh my God.
Right.
Instantaneously.
I didn't read the book. Like she's
he
the
was
one I told.
Chapter one and he called that chapter fucking one.
Did you know like a simple favor? Did you pick that out?
Which one
like
was that?
That was the
we didn't
line.
See it.
Oh.
Yeah,
did you figure that twist out from Jump Street?
You didn't see it. That was the anecdote.
No. I saw it. I'm trying to remember if I
didn't see it.
I was saying she didn't see it.
Oh,
she was,
gotcha.
I'm trying to remember because I feel like that twist is just like
I did because I saw The Prestige.
Well, all right, but also just like I never would have thought.
He's
that.
Really good at calling the twists. It's really f-ing irritating. That's why I don't even like to discuss books with him, because I'm just like, you know what? You just read it at your pace, and then I'll read it mine.
Right.
And then like
we'll
I'll read this really
later.
Great book, and then he's like two chapters in. Yeah, this guy did it, I think.
Oh, I did that with the woman in the window.
Yeah, you f-ing did.
You're making Kevin do a lot of editing.
Sorry.
We don't curse on this podcast.
Yes, you sure did.
I'm chomping at the bit right now.
I'm so
happening.
Sorry.
Yeah, I can't believe that Joe has
Look,
been...
Look, man.
He's still half asleep.
No, he's still coming off of work is what
oh,
he's doing.
Oh, okay. We weren't sure what was going
yeah.
on.
So they get to the... Then you know, it's a combined community where there's people who have sight and people who are blind. And they say that the birds will warn the sighted people that these
See,
things are on the way. This was a little wonky.
The bird
like,
thing... I didn't like.
I didn't like this. This is the one thing I had to complain about.
You never see them actually use the birds no. To protect themselves.
No, he's right.
But she would use the birds to know when something is wrong.
But
you
they
never
show
see
it.
Do
no,
it.
The we did as an audience, but she never used them.
Yeah, because well, you only see it at the grocery store. There was that one time
in the house too.
But they never really because he puts the birds in the fridge.
Yeah, and yeah. She doesn't know that. Only Tom yeah. knows
exactly.
That.
That's what I'm saying. We know it as an. They use it for the audience, but she doesn't in the movie. I'm agreeing. With you, too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I,
yeah.
Like,
in the
I,
book, they use them. That's another difference.
Yeah,
because
I feel like she's lugging these birds everywhere, and it's like you would also think that, like, well, when you're approaching the rapids, if the birds aren't freaking out, you can look yeah.
right. That's true.
Apparently,
that's a good point.
Really apparently,
good point.
They're a symbol for hope in the movie more so than a tool, is what the person that
yeah.
wrote that.
Huh.
But yeah, I don't really like the ending. One, because it's too cutesy and everyone survives. But two, it's like
well,
they're
not everyone survives.
We've only got one person that survives.
What? Well, no,
from
her,
the original house. I think.
Oh, right, right. No, I know. I just mean like the you know the family the, from the beginning of the movie. Her and the kids. They
right.
all make it, and then now it's like they're safe for the rest of their years. But it's like. The thing is, like, they're still kind of outside, and I just can't imagine that, because there's blind and non-blind people.
Well, that's
people.
What they did in The Quiet Place.
Well, and...
But this is a different... I'm
and
saying...
And it's caged, and it's got the...
Nailed
it,
no.
Pecan?
The end of A Quiet Place.
Pecan?
Fair, I always forget...
Pecan?
Spoilers.
Pecan?
So they're, like, in a greenhouse, or there's, like, flowers up above
it. But
they
started in a building. Like, that was a courtyard. That
yeah.
was a courtyard. So it's
yeah,
like...
but they're like, if the birds go off, we go inside. But it's like, those monsters got to people outside so quickly. Like, they didn't have time for alarms
to
ring.
But the canopy, I don't know. I took yeah. it as the canopy protects them. Like, because all of the yeah. leaves and stuff would keep them from seeing.
I get it. Well, why can't it get through leaves?
I don't There's, know.
That's what I'm saying. I get what you're saying and what they're saying. What I'm saying is that's a little too cutesy of a solution.
Yeah.
But
that's fair.
I like the movie. I'm like, okay, great.
Yeah,
we're safe forever now because we have birds in a canopy.
Honestly, I'm fine with her and the kids surviving. Like that's
that's fine. I mean the happily ever after for the rest of our days because we're at the blind school. Like,
well,
just,
we don't know because judging by, I guarantee you, we might get a bird box too. At this
and
point.
I don't see how they could be happy forever because like you'd be like, oh my god, I'm so
get
tired
out
of these
here.
Four walls. Like somebody,
I know,
yeah. So then they're going to venture out and then they die. I mean, I could write the second movie if I wanted to.
But they wrap it up as happily.
They
right?
do,
they
and
they
that's
do.
Why I think it's a little too cute to the way they don't even leave it to any threat. They're just like, well, we're here now and we have the courtyard and the birds.
We're good to go.
And it's just kind of like, okay. But
I was fine with
it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was, you know, we kicked the idea around of what we were going to do. I was like, I feel like with 47 million people watching this thing, we should probably talk about it.
Yeah.
It is kind of similar to A Quiet Place, but it's just different enough. Maybe that's what the deal was. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about Mowgli. Where they were just like,
well,
I
before you got here,
yeah,
I did say that as like, well, maybe the studio sold it off because they're like, well, damn it,
yeah, they've already beaten us to it, and it's really good,
yeah.
So why
yeah.
try to compete with them? So,
yeah,
there it is, Bird Box.
It's thrilling, it's interesting. I liked it. I thought there was enough there to really keep you like the whole time, like because you're wondering like how did this happen and how
right.
did they get here with the non-chronological editing. Like I think they made
yeah.
really good choices with telling the story.
It was
and,
a good way to do
bouncing.
That too.
Yeah.
Like you don't, you know, it wasn't doing it non-chronologically. I think is
yeah.
it's hard to do. And it's hard. It's easy to do. It's hard to do right.
Yeah,
and
totally.
This one gets that the idea right, where like the flashbacks will lead you up
yeah.
to where you need to be.
Because during the slow parts, you're still like, well, how did this happen? Like
right.
it kept your interest. Where if it just slowed down and it was linear, then you might get a little bored. But
yeah.
but the whole time I'm thinking, well, how did this happen? How did this? You know, it keeps your mind like, you know, on which one is her kid and which one.
Yeah.
You know.
I think the ending would feel very truncated as well. If it was sequential.
I think
yeah.
you're right.
Because it would just be like all this thing.
Because it was
house,
about the journey.
And then there'd be like 10 minutes. There'd be like 7 minutes of them going down the river and getting there.
Yeah.
And
you're like, oh, man.
Really?
This is great.
That's what we did.
Because even Brian was like, that would be so boring in the river.
Yeah. Like, oh, you wouldn't be bored. You'd have monsters to keep your attention.
Monsters and weird creepers. Human beings.
Yeah.
But it would have been much more about the monsters on the river, I think, if they would have had to have done that. And yeah. I liked the way they went back and forth, because it was like you kind of just took it like she was, I don't know, I took it as she was reflecting on all of this as she was going through it.
That's probably true. Yeah. But no, it was really good. I liked it a lot. I was really, really surprised.
You can like this and A Quiet Place both. You don't have to like one over the other. So people that are just like, this is a ripoff, which we've already debunked, but it's like, you can like both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
I think you should like both. They're both good.
Yeah, exactly.
This movie has taught you anything. It's that you can like two things.
It's okay.
That even if one isn't your own.
Right.
So we appreciate sight and hearing.
Right.
Yeah, all of the above.
I wish I owned A Quiet Place, because I made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, I don't own either of these, but I'd like to.
So there you go. There it is. Bird Box.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
You can find me on Facebook.com/CrystalDOKeefe or... you can find me at the other podcast, The Clip Out.
Is that like, I'm Crystal D. O'Keefe? I'm D. O'Keefe?
No, it's just my middle initial.
Oh, there you go. Okay,
nothing
there
that cool.
Go. All right. she likes the D.
Oh, dear God.
It's between y'all. I don't know.
Jeez.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show, you can do so at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Don't forget our Patreon account at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where you can get all sorts of bonus content and support the show for just $5 a month. And don't forget, we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. So that's it for this one. No idea what we're doing next week.
Is
so
it Glass?
I think that's a couple weeks from now. You're always like 2 weeks ahead whenever you throw out a suggestion. So
are you saying he has premature movie speculation?
Yes.
That's a thing. Yeah.
So
we had a whole thing around
this. Yeah. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Frank's speech prevents Charlie from being expelled.
By the light switch, who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.